Whose opinions and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio. It's time now for the Doctor's Lounge Show with Dr. Hal Schurz.
Welcome back into the Doctor's Lounge. I am your host, Dr. Hal Schurz, and we come to you each week, myself and my co-host, Dr. Scott, with information that doctors are talking about across doctors' lounges across the country. We are trying to provide for you the information that you need so that you can advocate for the health care of yourself and for your family. The show is brought to you by the Docs for Patient Care Foundation, which is the only physician-led healthcare think tank in the country. The Docs for Patient Care Foundation stands for the principles of the doctor-patient relationship and healthcare freedom for all Americans. So it's really important for you to just go to our website at D4PCFoundation.org. That's D4PCFoundation.org. And see what we're doing. Go to the website, look around. But if you like this radio show, you know, it doesn't hurt to just make a small contribution, a recurring contribution, $10 a month. $15 a month, $20 a month, whatever you think you can afford so that we can continue to bring you this show and do the work that we do every day so that we can work for the interests of you, the patients in America. And that's what Docs for Patient Care is all about. So please don't hesitate, don't delay, go to the website. It is tax deductible. So please do your part to help us do our part. Well, it's too bad that there's really nothing going on right now and nothing to talk about, right? It's I say that tongue in cheek. You know, we've talked a lot recently about politics, which it's hard to ignore. I think that I told you the last show that I would be talking about healthcare, which I will do today, but I'm going to bring it back to politics because we are living through some of the most tumultuous times in my lifetime and I'm sure in all of yours. And this is something that is so important, and it is going to be a decision that we make in November that will affect all of us and our children and our grandchildren, because it is basically a decision between civilizations, clash of civilizations. We have, on the one hand, we have people who are supporting capitalism and meritocracy and American exceptionalism. On the other hand, we have Marxists who want to drag down America, who hate America, who hate everything that we stand for, and want all of our institutions to change, to be destroyed, all of our culture wiped out. And it's up to every single one of you to do your part to try to prevent that from happening. I do my part here. We do our part at Docs for Patient Care. But everybody should be doing something if you are a proud American, if you hold this country dear and you do not want to see it just get destroyed, because that is what's happening right in front of our very eyes. With health care, all of these distractions have resulted in healthcare taking a back seat to just about everything. And this is very problematic because when no one is paying attention, bad things happen. And bad things are happening in healthcare. Make no mistake about it. So this is a very dangerous time for healthcare. When people are asleep at the wheel, there are those nefarious individuals that seize the opportunity to change things the way that they feel that healthcare should be run, not the way that benefits you, the patients. Look around and just get a sense of what is happening right now. Hospitals, insurance companies, and private equity firms have, over the past decade, gotten into healthcare. They've jumped in with both feet. They're buying up physicians, physician practices, medical services. And what are they doing? They're trying to squeeze profits out of healthcare. When these entities, these for-profit entities or even non-for-profit entities like hospitals, try to squeeze profits from the system, then patients suffer because either it costs people more money or corners get cut or both. And right now, these entities are learning that healthcare is not the golden goose that they once thought it was. Reimbursements are going down, regulations are going up, and the bloom is off the rose. So these entities are now heading to the exits. You know, the hospitals got so big, and the laws on the books have permitted the hospitals from doing things that are antitrust, monopolistic, really taking over communities and consolidating healthcare services. And that's never good. It's never good when an entity has monopolies over anything. They just made the government just declared Google to be a monopoly, and they want to break that up. But hospitals have been doing this for the last 10 to 20 years, and it's really hurt healthcare. It's not helped it, despite what they want you to believe. And you have to understand that just because they say it doesn't make it so. We see this in politics. But now the hospitals are starting to hurt. Texas Children's Hospital in Houston, and they've got satellites elsewhere, including Austin, Texas, and points far beyond that. They employ 20,000 people. They're huge. But they just, in the last few weeks, have cut 1,000 jobs, including, surprisingly, the management jobs, but mostly clinical jobs. Well, this is a sign of more things to come. This is a problem that we're seeing across the country, where hospitals have overbuilt because they just thought that this would be the golden goose. It would go on and on and on, and they're discovering that there are way too many problems that are insurmountable that make this model of getting bigger and controlling more healthcare really unprofitable. Walmart is huge. They went big into healthcare. And what happened? They just shut it down. Now, if Walmart can't make healthcare work, how can you expect others that are a fraction of the size to make it work, especially independent medical practices? How can those medical practices withstand all the pressure to stay open? And they can't. That's why medical practices sell their practices to hospitals or to private equity to get the money out of their practice, because they see that the handwriting is on the wall, and you've got the greedy hospitals and the greedy private equity firms who aren't as sophisticated as you think they should be, who think they can do better and squeeze profits out, but they really can't. Why is healthcare such a bad deal for these businesses? Well, it's because there's pressure on the entire healthcare system. It's very difficult nowadays to meet margins as costs soar, and it's difficult as reimbursements decline. This is not the kind of business where you can pass along increasing costs, increasing overhead to your clients, to your customers. You can't do that in healthcare, because 97% of healthcare goes through third-party insurance companies, whether it is private insurance or public insurance like Medicare and Medicaid. Independent physician practices are naturally the hardest hit with what's going on in healthcare, but this is having ramifications all throughout the healthcare system. There was a recent AMA report that only 44% of physicians owned their practices as of 2022. This is compared with in the early 1980s, when 76% of physicians owned their practices. If doctors are working for somebody else, they do not work for you. Get that through your head. If there is somebody that is controlling doctors, some entity that doctors are answerable to, then it is bad for you as the patient, whether that means that you will get not state-of-the-art care, or you will have to see somebody other than a doctor to take care of you, or your visits may only be 5 to 7 minutes with the doctor or the physician extender, the APP as we call them, the nurse practitioners or the PAs. But this is what is happening when doctors don't run the show. In 2022 and 2023, 8,100 practices were acquired by hospitals or private equity groups. 8,100 practices. There were over 19,000 doctors that became employees in 2023, which is up 5.1% since 2022. This, my friends, is a problem. This is a system heading in the wrong direction, and things will only get more difficult. on July 10th, CMS, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, proposed a 2.8% conversion factor reduction. What is the conversion factor? Well, the conversion factor is what the entire healthcare system relies on to get reimbursed. So let's just say that you have a procedure, and the procedure has a value attached to it. Let's just say, for example, we're talking about a hip replacement. Well, a hip replacement has a conversion factor of I don't know what it is because I'm not an orthopedic surgeon, but let's just say it has a conversion factor of 30 compared to something much simpler, which is like removing a wart, which might have a conversion factor of 1. Well, the conversion factor has a dollar amount assigned to it by Medicare. So that just to make the math simple, let's just say that the conversion factor per point is $100. So a wart removal would be $100. The hip replacement at 30 would be $3,000. Okay, so you see how that works. So or $30,000, I'm sorry. So when they decrease the conversion factor, they're saying that $1 per point is now going to be decreased by 2.8%. So that means that the people who are administering the services are going to receive less money from Medicare for doing that work. Now, if you're an independent practice, you can't pass that along to anybody. So you have to eat it. That means you're going to make less money. And that's happening at the same time that all the salaries are going up and all the costs for all the services are going up, whether it is for your rent or your supplies. The cost of regulations the regulations imposed by the government costs you money. You can't pass that along. So this is what is hurting the people who are administering the care. And if you're a hospital that has bought up 1,000 doctors and they're decreasing the reimbursements, that means that's less money coming in, less money than that you expected to come in. The same is true for private equity. The deal that you thought you were buying isn't quite so good anymore. And it's important to understand that all of the insurance companies, the private insurance companies, they rely on this Medicare data to determine what they are going to reimburse. So this is not just affecting Medicare. It's not just affecting Medicaid, but it's affecting the entire healthcare ecosystem. We're going to see ramifications from this because the Medicare physician payments have declined almost 30% since 2001. So this is unsustainable. Do you understand that if you are a business, you keep charging less and less, and you can't pass those costs along, and all your other costs are going up, what's going to happen to your business? You're not going to be able to stay in business. This is what is happening in healthcare today. So, it's no surprise that doctors are demoralized, that they are frustrated, that they are looking to try to figure out other ways to just stay even by doing other services, procedures. This is why when you go to, I don't know, an OBGYN, they are offering the nutraceuticals. They're selling them in their offices, or dermatologists that are doing the fat freezing treatments. They bought the machines and they're doing this, or an internist that is offering Botox injections. These are all cash services that the doctors can hopefully capitalize on and just stay even. And even those services are, there are entities in government and elsewhere that are trying to restrict doctors from doing that. You know, doctors tried to create surgeries, multi-specialty surgery centers, just to be able to stay above water, to augment the decreasing professional reimbursements. And that was squashed by Obama and Obamacare. Why? Because the Marxists, the progressives, they don't want to see the private sector succeed. The harder times are for healthcare professionals, for you as the patients, the easier it is for them to get their dystopian policies enacted, to get to a government-run healthcare system. But more and more doctors are escaping. And we're going to see many, many more early retirements and doctors opting out. And this is a problem with future doctors as well. Less of the good, strong minds, young minds, are going to want to get into a profession that they find is not going to allow them to pay back their student loans or have a lifestyle that they had hoped to achieve for all the sacrifices that go into being a doctor. From 2022 to 2023, 36% of doctors said that they had a moderate to a great interest in leaving their current jobs within the next 2 years. The six practices with the largest number of doctors contemplating hanging it up will affect patient care significantly, because those are all of the practices that people rely on to stay healthy. 39% of internal medicine doctors have contemplated retirement within 2 years. 37% of family medicine doctors. 34% of OBGYN. 33% of hospitalists. 32% of emergency room doctors. And 30% of pediatricians. These are not good numbers. This is very troublesome, very, very discouraging. So, patients will find it more difficult getting care simply because there will be fewer doctors. Not only that, but these doctors will be less well-trained. We're seeing that right before our very eyes. I can attest to that because I am training residents, young doctors, and their institution is taking away educational experiences from them. Not only that, but they are replacing core medical subjects in medical school with woke ideology and social justice training. And they're going to be more concerned about social justice than they are quality of health care. DEI hires, diversity, equity, inclusion, will also harm patients. How will you know whether or not your doctor has gotten to the point that they're at because they deserve it, because of a meritocracy, rather than by what they look like or how they identify? That is very troublesome. Even worse for patients are the policy decisions that will limit options. That will also cost patients more money in the future as things shift towards more responsibility for them taking that role on with healthcare as their insurance backs away from covering the more basic things or drugs. And there's going to be less choices for patients when there are fewer doctors and fewer good doctors. Seniors will be particularly hard hit, not just because of all of this that I've just said, but also because of the risk to the Medicare program. And don't let the progressives tell you that that's not a concern, not a risk. Not when they are suggesting Medicare for all. Because when everybody gets put into the Medicare system, what do you think is going to happen to you, the seniors out there, to your health care, the health care that you have paid into throughout your working lifetime, the health care that you expect to receive? When that pool is diluted out because of illegal aliens who are going to be receiving the healthcare benefits from the government, who is going to be paying for that? You're going to pay for that. You'll pay for it directly with your taxes, and you'll pay for it indirectly by not receiving the Medicare benefits that you are expecting to get. This is absolutely what's going to happen. We just see it happening with cutbacks right now. To illustrate the problems that I've just kind of enumerated, urologists, that is the group that I identify with, we have a large lobbying group as part of the organization that I'm a part of, which are independent practices, the large practice urology group. And our lobbying group went to Washington on behalf of our patients and ourselves. And some of the issues that were brought up to the legislators are critical to healthcare. And whatever government we have in Washington will determine whether or not these concerns are taken seriously and the needs are met, or whether they're ignored in the for the purpose of allowing the healthcare system to bottom out so that the government will come in and provide that single-payer healthcare system. Recently, in the Biden administration, we have been prohibited from sending drugs to our senior patients. They have to come in and pick them up. That is so harmful to the patients. You know, we see patients in our office who have problems that make it difficult for them to travel. It's difficult for them to travel anyway, being seniors. But when they have problems like cancer and they are receiving drugs to control that, not necessarily cure it, but to control it, to keep cancer at bay, the lack of accessibility for these patients to come in makes it difficult for them to receive these drugs. So practices like mine and the others in our urology group, LUGPA, have mailed drugs to patients. Well, the Biden administration has taken that away. And now these seniors have to come in to get their drugs, or they've got to get them through a different route other than through their doctors. And so there's an act that's in Congress, the Seniors Access to Critical Medication Act, that's just sort of sitting there. And this is something that we as urologists and other medical specialties are fighting for on behalf of our patients. But the left does not want this to happen. We need to make physician reimbursement sustainable so that physicians can stay in business, so that there'll be doctors there for you to take care of. Reimbursement has declined 10% since 2020, while costs have gone up 20%. And if the doctors aren't there to take care of you, good luck. Wait, you're going to be waiting in line for your health care, and it's going to be just like it is in other socialized healthcare systems. There are burdens on doctor practices, administrative burdens, bureaucratic burdens that were imposed under Obamacare, and they were relaxed under Trump but thrown out when Biden became president. And they will get worse in a Marxist Harris-Walz regime. And these burdens make it more expensive to deliver health care and take away time and effort from you, the patients. Why are hospitals buying up doctor practices? Because they get paid more than doctors do for the same services in their offices. So we are fighting for site neutrality so that you take away the incentive from the hospitals to get bigger and bigger and put doctors out of business. We want to protect patient access to cancer therapies, which are evaporating right before our very eyes. We want to preserve physician reimbursement for being able to administer these drugs to patients. Again, the progressives, the Marxists, want to see this come to an end. This all has been threatened by the Biden Harris Inflation Reduction Act. There are regulations that prevent doctors from trying to pool resources to be able to deliver better, more affordable health care to our patients. There are laws called the Stark laws or anti-kickback statutes that the hospitals don't have to adhere to, but the doctors do. This is not fair to us as doctors and not fair to you as patients, because when the hospitals have a monopoly, your costs go up and your choices go down. And finally, the middlemen in healthcare need to be eliminated, specifically the pharmacy benefit management companies that are making your prescription drugs cost you more money, when in fact there are rebates that go to these companies from drug manufacturers that should be going to you, the patients, and not lining the pockets of these middlemen. So as these problems mount for patients and for doctors and threaten our healthcare system, who do you trust to fix them? You know, many of these issues that I've elaborated on were the result of Obamacare or executive orders that came out of the Biden-Harris administration, laws signed by Biden, or repealing patient-friendly healthcare policies that were actually instituted by the Trump team, by Trump executive orders, because he recognized the need for patients to be in charge of healthcare and gave sweeping opportunities for patients to be in charge of their own healthcare, opportunities that have been stripped away by the Biden-Harris administration. And it will get worse. Trust me, it will get worse. The progressives, or as we now need to call them, socialists or Marxists, but socialists, because that's what Tim Walz, the vice presidential nominee of the Democrat Party, has admitted to being. So this is not something that is hidden anymore. Wake up, folks. This is the Republican Party now, not against the Democrats. This is not your dad's Democrat Party. These are the socialists, the Marxists. These are the same people that run the governments in Latin America or in China or in Russia, in the Soviet Union, which is no longer really the Soviet Union, but it's the same people. They will make things worse for you in every aspect of life, including healthcare. And for healthcare, it'll get so bad that it will have to be the government taking over the healthcare system. The Harris-Waltz ticket has a track record of words and deeds that make it very clear what they stand for. Kamala has already said that private insurance should be eliminated and we should have Medicare for all. Medicare for all means a socialized healthcare system. So seniors out there, this will kill your Medicare. If you are over 65 or you are now approaching that time in life where you're counting on your Medicare and you vote for these people, you have got to have your head examined because you're voting against yourself. You need to wake up. Not only that, but Kamala believes that healthcare is a right, that everybody should have it, including illegal aliens. And she's opened the door to illegal aliens. She was the border czar. Although now she and the Democrats and the media are trying to walk that back as if we don't have videotape of all of them saying that she's the border czar. These people are chameleons. They change color and they disguise themselves to fit into whatever environment they find themselves in. They are liars. They are cheats. They are propagandists. and they call their opponents the most vile names. They call the supporters of the opponents the most vile names, the bucket of deplorables. They say that we are the problem. These people accuse conservatives of everything that they themselves are doing. It's classic projection. And they have a compliant media. It's like Pravda. They serve as an echo chamber to reinforce these Marxist lies. And people buy it. They believe what they are hearing over and over and over again in the mainstream media, which is in so many cases exactly the opposite of what they could see for themselves right before their eyes. And in this day and age, when we have videotape to go back to learn positions, this is just astounding. I mean, what you could see right before your eyes that they've lied about, that you know are lies, like Joe Biden being robust and just as sharp as he ever has been. One of the biggest lies in the history of our country. Or that the border is secure. How many times have we heard that lie? The border is secure. It's not secure. We all know it. We see it in our cities every day. We see it in the fentanyl that's pouring across the border. And we see it on crimes that are committed by illegal aliens in all the major cities. But they lie about it. And in the case of Kamala, there's a track record of ineptness and bad policies, not to mention that she's also a liar and a cheat. She cheated the American public because she knew Joe Biden was inept, and she prepared to just step in and anoint herself as the presidential nominee without a single person voting for her. But she keeps reinventing herself and flip-flopping, and she is trying to convince people that she's evolved and that she does not harbor the same beliefs or positions that she has had for years. But make no mistake about it, she is the ultimate California, San Francisco Marxist who has had the most left record in the Senate in history. She's outdone Bernie Sanders, and we've known about Bernie Sanders' healthcare positions. And she is trying to fool people who are not paying attention. And that is the danger here. Kamala is no different than AOC or Rashida Tlaib or Ilhan Omar or Bernie Sanders or any of those other Marxists who hate America and want to take America down. You just saw Cori Bush get defeated yesterday, and she went on a rant how she was going to take down America. And we have not heard the last of her. She was an angry, angry woman. And this is what Kamala Harris is all about. You saw how she failed as the border czar. And now we're expecting her as the president to do better. She's not tough on crime like her commercials tout her to be. She was not a tough attorney general or a tough DA. She let people go and not prosecute cases that were not benefiting her. If there was cronyism involved, and I shared this with you in the last show, and this is what kind of corruption we can expect from her if she becomes president. She votes the same as the squad on Israel. This ticket is the most anti-Israel, anti-Semitic ticket in American history. And don't let them try to tell you that anti-Israel is different than anti-Semitism. That is just a wolf in sheep's clothing. It is inseparable. And this, the security of the Jewish people in the United States is at risk in a Harris-Waltz presidency, vice presidency. And what you saw on college campuses with support for Hamas will only get worse for Jewish Americans in this country. And so if you are Jewish and you vote for this woman, you need to have your head examined, because she is anti-Israel. She just now came out and said that she supports an arms embargo to Israel. Wake up. You've got to wake up. Now, it's interesting that she picked Tim Walz as her vice president. He is probably the most left choice she could have picked. She had an opportunity to pick Josh Shapiro, who is moderate, who is in a swing state, who would have helped her, but he's too Jewish. And this would have offended the left wing of her party, which she is a part of. So there was no chance that he was going to be asked to be the vice president. Now, Tim Walz, on the other hand, is a member of the same club as Kamala. And so she had an opportunity to go to the middle, and she went further left, because he is a full-fledged Marxist who has said that one person's socialism is another person's neighborliness. And he may be more Marxist than Gavin Newsom in California, because he has destroyed Minnesota. Let's look at some of the things that he's done on health care. He believes health care is a right, just like Kamala. And he's given driver's licenses to illegal aliens, and their health care system is swamped with people who are just coming into Minnesota, who are getting their driver's license and getting free health care on the taxpayer dime. As a result, after New York and California and Illinois, Minnesota is the next highest tax state, and people cannot afford to live there. Aside from Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota is essentially a rural state, and those people are leaving Minnesota because they can't afford it. And the middle class is being driven out of Minnesota. They can't afford it. They're moving to red states. Walz is a proponent of government-controlled health care. He set up Minnesota Sure in 2013, the official health insurance marketplace. He supported the public option in 2018, a plan to supplement Minnesota care for residents earning over over 200,000% of the federal poverty level. This plan has floundered, and it's not working. And the estimates that are that it will cost the taxpayers an additional $364 million annually. And again, the taxpayers, already being hard hit, are going to have to pay for this burden. The Mayo Clinic opposes this, as does the Minnesota Hospital Association, because it's a plan to augment Minnesota care without an upper income threshold. So they believe it's the camel's nose under the tent to get to a single payer. And no state has been able to do this, but Minnesota is well on their way to trying to implement this. he's restricted Medicaid CMOs by preventing for-profit entities like the Mayo Clinic Health Plan from bidding on managed care contracts in the state's Medicare contract race. During COVID, he was one of the most restrictive governors in the U.S. without any kind of moderation in control over the population. He closed schools. He had very restrictive laws on people being able to eat out. This is what he enjoyed. He enjoyed the power and the control over people's health care. He is pro-choice without any restrictions, including allowing a failed abortion, that baby, to not be supported but to be terminated. But perhaps the two worst things about him have to do one medical and one not. He has made Minnesota a sanctuary state for transgender. So what he has allowed is for minors to be taken away from their parents if their parents do not support gender-affirming surgery, which is one of the biggest bullcrap terms I've ever heard. He supports giving hormones, hormone blockers, and disfiguring surgery to minors. And if the parents don't support this, he supports having the state step in to allow these minors to get these treatments if they so desire. This is absolutely unconscionable. It is anti-parent rights. And he is the poster child for this. He is the worst. In addition, he watched his capital city burn to the ground during the George Floyd riots. People died. The police were killed. Police station was burnt. The National Guard was offered and rejected. His wife, Walz's wife, was happy about this. She said she opened up the windows to smell the burning tires to get a sense of what of the history that was going on. And this was a good thing. Kamala Harris supported this. She teamed up with Walz. And she created a bail fund for those individuals, those rioters and those looters that were arrested, because she supported this lawlessness. This is what is running against Trump. You might hate Trump as an individual, but this is not what you need to vote for as your alternative to Trump. There's so much more about Walz. He's on record saying that we should ship manufacturing jobs to China. He does so in the name of the Green New Deal. Get rid of those manufacturing jobs and clean up the environment here, despite the fact that our manufacturing is probably the cleanest in the world, and he wants to send it to the dirtiest places in the world. But he loves China, and he loves that communist regime. He's been there, I think, over 30 times. This is a major, major problem. So if you think that anything will be the same if they get elected, you are delusional. You have been brainwashed by your leftist college professors or by celebrities that you identify with, that are infected with Trump derangement syndrome, or by the media who, for whatever reason, are Marxists themselves and serve as the propaganda arm for this Marxist ticket and for the Marxist movement in America. The communist Party of America, the Socialist Party of America, have issued statements celebrating the Harris-Walz ticket. What more do you need? That is all you need to know. Are you asleep at the wheel and brain dead? You need to be telling everybody these things. You need to share this podcast with everyone so that they understand what is at stake. So this election is not about Donald Trump and J.D. Vance against Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. This is a clash of ideology. It's capitalism versus Marxism. It's a love for America and traditional values versus hatred of America and hatred of our history and the desire to make it less than exceptional and the desire to pit groups against each other by the way we look or the way we identify or our beliefs. We are in big trouble. We are at the precipice. We're right on the threshold. And it is a naive and infantile way of thinking in a very dangerous world, which is the Marxist view of utopia. But I'm not sure that it really is a utopian view. What it really is, it's a dystopian view where you have people at the top who are very powerful, who are able to reap the benefits at your expense, including your healthcare benefits. Do you think that these people are going to subject themselves to the same kind of limitations that you will have with regard to healthcare? No way. No way. We're getting a glimpse of what this world would be with the Marxists in charge. It's sort of like Gotham City when Batman took a sabbatical and the city went crazy wild with crime and just absolute chaos. It was like Metropolis when Superman was trapped and was not available to fight off the crime. Or New York City when the Avengers were dismantling themselves and the bad guys ran wild. These people are the bad guys. Make no mistake about it. They are the bad guys. Because if they were the good guys, they would tell you what they're all about, and they're not even willing to do that. No press conferences, no positions on the website. You don't hear boo from these people. Why? Because they are afraid to tell you what they have in store for you because they know you won't like it. So you better wake up. Your healthcare is going to be destroyed and not fixed. There's a chance that this could get fixed if we get the country on the right track and Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are the wrong track. They're the wrong train to get on. So, my friends, please do your part to make sure that this does not happen because I am fearful for my offspring, for my family, for my country, and for my future if these people get elected. Thanks for being with us today in the Doctor's Lounge. We'll be back with you in 2 weeks. Dr. Scott will be here next week. Have a good day.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.